of Allah.
He had lived his whole life in purity and virtue among them, and even his hardest enemies acknowledged this. They knew that he was the most honest and truthful person among them. The Holy Book of Quran therefore appealed to them to look at his life and try to understand. There are some verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the honesty of his prophet. In the 33rd verse of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And the one who has brought the truth and they who believed in it, those are righteous. In another verse of Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, rather, he has brought the truth and confirmed the messengers. One incident that proved the Prophet's absolute sincerity and loyalty to his mission, despite the terrible odds, was this: that after the Prophet wasallam was able to gather followers from among the Quraysh, some of the leaders approached his uncle Abu Talib with the intention of using his influence to dissuade Muhammad wasallam from his mission. But the Prophet wasallam told his uncle, by Allah, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, on condition that I abandon this cause, I will not abandon it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it victorious or I perish therein. And this was no exaggeration. He was making clear to his uncle as well as to the Quraysh leaders as calmly as he could how determined he was in the performance of his God-given task. And he meant exactly what he said. There indeed was no incongruity between his word and deeds. Let's have a short break and we will be back soon.
My heart is so full of longing. I wish to be close to my beloved. I dream to walk in the streets of Medina and to quench the thirst of my spirit by visiting you, O Muhammad.
Welcome back, dear audience. You're listening to Like Muhammad from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about truthfulness and honesty in the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We said that he was well known for his honesty, and everyone in Mecca and Medina knew him by these titles. Well, everyone could see that he practiced exactly what he preached. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam received Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command to openly invite people to Islam, the Prophet, as we just said, warned people and asked them a question in order to make them realize. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam went out to the hill of Safa, and as we just said earlier, he asked people about his trustworthiness. When they affirmed that, then he told them of his mission, though at the time the people were reluctant to give up their traditional religion and follow him. Allah Almighty commanded the Prophet to tell the people that, إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِ إِلَّا عَلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am to you an apostle worthy of all trust, so fear Allah and obey me. No reward do I ask for you for it. My reward is only from the Lord of the worlds. Surah Ash-Shura, verses number 107 till 109. One of his own usual prayers was to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being in debt. A companion once said, "O Allah's Messenger, very often you seek refuge with Allah from being in debt." And he replied, "If a person is in debt, he tells lies when he speaks and breaks the promises he makes." Another important point is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged the people to always seek truthfulness, even if they feared it might ruin them. He harshly blamed those who broke their trust or were disloyal. In that regard, he said, "When God gathers together on the Day of Judgment all the people preceding and to come, a banner will be raised on behalf of every disloyal person. It will be announced, 'This is because of the disloyalty of so and so.'" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also warned Muslims about this issue and said that the signs of a hypocrite are three: whenever he speaks, he tells a lie; whenever he promises, he breaks his promise; and whenever he is interested, he betrays and proves to be untruthful. So that is how our beloved Prophet had honesty and trustworthy as major characteristics of his own and encouraged Muslims to behave in that way. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that the time for this program has come to its end. Today we talked about trustworthiness and honesty of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned some related verses and mentioned some narrations of him about this subject. Then we raised some related stories about the emphasis of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on honesty. And I wish that all of us would put these recommendations into practice and take advantage of them in our lives. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect all of you with His mercy and love. Thank you very much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah.
Defensive Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Nothing quite equals the feeling a book lover gets from being surrounded by books. The variety of titles, the smell of ink on paper, and the gathering of fellow bibliophiles in one place can be just exhilarating. That's why there are book fairs where you can enjoy acquiring new books, meeting authors, and attending different book-related events. A book fair is a happy meeting ground for writers, readers, and book lovers, where they all come together to celebrate the written and published words. It offers a terrific opportunity to discover new writers while acknowledging the old. But what distinguishes an event like the Tehran Book Fair from other international or regional book fairs is its sentimental attachments and the country's rich cultural heritage. Every year, many cultural events in Iran seem to begin with the Tehran Book Fair, and millions of people participate in it. In fact, the entire cultural and artistic currents in Iran are somehow related to this exhibition. It's been said that by showcasing a splendid array of books from all over the globe in this event, in a way, Iran is recalling its role in the Golden Age of Islam, that age of great learning in the 13th century. Consistently, the organizers of Tehran International Book Fair believe that the more a nation can celebrate its great production of books, the more it promotes literacy and an educated public that enriches the republic.
Can you think of a place that can both contain and reveal all existing relations between everything? Simply put, I think that's what can be said of a book fair, particularly of Tehran. The 34th Tehran International Book Fair kicked off in the Iranian capital on May 10th. To take a closer look at what's actually taking place on the ground, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
The 34th Tehran International Book Fair is being held in order to better identify the capacities of Iran's publishing industry, expand cultural relations in the international arena, lay the groundwork for establishing professional communication between Iranian and foreign publishers, and examine problems and solutions for the development of international publishing. The annual Tehran Book Fair, situated at Imam Khomeini's Grand Musalla in Tehran, is an established and friendly event with around 100 foreign publishers, 200 booksellers, and 2,700 domestic publishers and dealers from all over the country active in the virtual and in-person sections. To know more details about the book fair and its stats, we sat for a conversation with Mr. Azad Bakht.
At this time of the book fair, we witnessed a major difference and significant growth. This year, compared to all previous periods, the exhibition has been established in the largest area. In fact, 125,000 square meters of Tehran's Musalla has been allocated to this year's book fair. More than 2,700 publishers have presented their latest titles at the International Book Fair. From this point of view, we can safely claim that Iran is amongst the top three countries in terms of the size of the area amongst the world's exhibitions. The statistics also show that Tehran's 34th International Book Fair ranks first in the world in terms of visitors, which is considered a cultural achievement for the Islamic Republic of Iran.
From the publishers and dealmakers to the copyright pros, the commissioners and the global listeners, including those involved in rights negotiation, the Tehran Book Fair has united the book community for a few days of business, networking, and learning. In our visit from the book fair, we had the chance to talk to some publishers. They shared points that are worth listening.
From 2 years ago until today, Haj Qasem Soleimani School Publications has published 18 books on different topics for different age groups. We have books for children, books that narrate parts of the main book named I Was Not Afraid of Anything. This book has been written by Haj Qasem himself before his martyrdom. We have tried to present parts of it in the form of poems for kids. Recently, considering the interest of the teenage audience, both inside and outside the country for comic script books, we presented the book I Was Not Afraid of Anything in the form of comic script, which was very well received, thank God.
Thank God, the book fair has been welcomed very well so far, and it's been very well received. But I need to mention that Amir Kabir Publications has its own customers during the 12 month of the year, and it's not limited to here only. The material we use in our book production, our authors, our translators are all the best, and therefore our market is good. Amir Kabir Publications has been operating since 1949. Amir Kabir Publications is famous in the field of psychology and philosophy, history books, literature and novel books, dictionaries, religious works and others. We are happy to be here at this fair. We have been successful so far.
Kitabistan Marifat Publications has been operating since 2014, and we have been working in the field of publishing and distributing books for almost 8 to 9 years. So far, we have published 220 books in the fields of literature, fiction, psychology, and history. We also work in the field of translation.
The event offers a rich and delicious variety of choice for anyone interested in books, even children. For them, it's usually a new experience that starts with making a choice. What do I want to read? And since being empowered to choose their own books is a milestone opportunity to identify and express their own voice. kids also leave the book fair as bolder, prouder, and stronger individuals. Thousands of rare items are on offer from all areas of fiction and nonfiction. There are also prices to suit all pockets.
ما در صنعت نشر مشاغل گوناگونی داریم. یکی از مشاغلی که در این حوزه وجود داره ویراستاری داستانه.
We have various jobs in the publishing industry. One of these jobs is story editing. The difference between a story editor and other editors is that the story editor has a more comprehensive and complete view and at the same time is far away from a series of other issues. For example, the story editor determines the publication rules. I mean the rules related to what books I publish in the field of novels and in what formats and structures and forms. For example, a publisher says that I only publish large books. Another publisher says that I only publish collections of short stories. Another task of the editor is related to the author. That is, it helps the authors who have introduced their books for publication to improve their work. For example, look at this book. When this book was introduced for publication, we showed the author its weak points, fixed them, and boosted its strength points. The editor can also offer topics to the author for writing on behalf of the publisher.
Furthermore, city organizers have worked hard to make sure every other aspect of the visitor's experience is taken care of. For instance, there are a variety of food stalls at the fair open all day, which offer hot and cold food and refreshments. Also, there are a number of easy-to-use parking facilities at the location. For those traveling by the city metro, it can't be any more convenient. There's a metro station located right at the fairground. And for those who wish to make use of the bus service, there are several lines running to and from the book fair location all day long.
A good thing this year was that in the past it was discussed that the Tehran Book Fair, unlike the rest of the world, has a sales section and is not just a book fair. This would cause booksellers to face a decrease in customers and suffer losses. This year, for the first time, bookstores are also allowed to have presence at the Tehran Book Fair and offer the latest books.
The 34th Tehran International Book Fair is underway until May 30th, 2023 at Imam Khomeini's Grand Musalla in Tehran. As you can see, people around me are very busy trying to find out what they're looking for. It is also worth mentioning that this year's event includes an online book fair as well, which means that you can visit the website at www.ketab.ir to purchase the desired books from the convenience of your home. The organizers of the event hope that you will find that little something from the large selections, including rare and antiquarian books, maps, posters, manuscripts, and ephemeral. They've made sure that there will be something that will catch your eye.
More than 1,500 publishers are showcasing their books at the exhibition, while some 1,200 publishers display their books online. The motto for this year's book fair is The Future is Worth Reading.
Another part of our work is finding talented writers from all over Iran. It doesn't matter where the person lives. For example, the author of this book is a woman who lives in Abadan, a city in Iran's southeastern province of Khuzestan. This lady does not live in the capital and is far from the centers of Iran's publishing industry. But the cyberspace has created an opportunity for us to read and publish her book. Maybe if it wasn't for this mechanism, her book would have never been published.
We only do promotion in this booth. We don't sell books at all here. Our promotion task has, in fact, three approaches. First, we display the book of the year, I mean the selected one. Second, in this booth, we display all the selected books of the 15th edition of the Jalal al-Ahmad Award, as well as the 17th edition of Fajr Poetry Festival. This year is our second term, and here we hold meetings and experts exchange ideas about the selected works. Our third activity here is to keep alive the memory of the selected writers who have passed away and are no longer among us.
Literature in Iran has had a significant impact in the development of the country, especially in modern times. In light of that, there are more than a dozen seasonal, annual, and biennial literary awards held in Iran by the country's establishment. These awards have created a good developmental trend and have had significant impacts in promoting new authors and new works and the quality of their works. According to statistics, there are about over 60,000 titles published as first editions in Iran annually. These awards cause a number of these literary works which are worthy to become well known. That increases the author's motivation and the number of published copies. Consequently, these factors lead to the promotion of literature itself. One of those awards is the Jalal-e-Ali Ahmad Literary Award, which was approved by the Supreme Council of Cultural Revolution in 2006. The award aims to promote the national religious language and literature through appreciation of the writers of the prominent leading forward-looking works. The topics assessed by the jury include long and short story, literary criticism, documentation, and historiography.
For an author, the first and major challenge is to find a good publisher who can publish his book in a timely manner, because contrary to the general public's opinion, book production is an arduous task. After we finish writing, we face challenges including cover design, editing by the last two people, proofreading, page layout, licensing, paper, interaction with the printer, and other things. In fact, a publisher should be found who can make all these arrangements in a short period of time. The second challenge of the author is actually getting money from the publisher. In fact, because publishers usually work based on long-term contracts, they also face a challenge to pay authors because books are not sold in cash in the Iranian market.
Also, Parvin Etesami Literary Award is another highly regarded award held in 2004 for the first time by the Ministry of Culture and Islamic Guidance. The prize's secretariat arbitrates the books written by women from throughout the country in five branches of research literature, drama, fiction, poetry, and children's literature, including authoring and translation works.
Hajar Publications is specialized in the fields of women and family books. It started its activity as a cultural institution in 2003. Since 2018, we focused on works that are centered on women issues. We receive and publish works that focus on women and family in all related subjects. Our other priorities are children and teenagers. Hopefully, we plan to work in that field as well, and we also review and publish the works of seminary students, whether in Persian or foreign languages.
The purpose of holding this award, in addition to honoring the renowned Iranian lady poet Parvin Etesami, is growth and promotion of women's literary creativities, strengthening Persian language abroad, linking the nation's literature, especially in the Muslim world, introducing the women's literary prominent figures and researchers, and also appreciation of women in the field of Persian language and literature.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Welcome to the news section of the program. I have selected three excerpts from three news websites, starting with Financial Tribune. Role of books in promoting country's culture highlighted. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, underscored the role of books in the cultivation of Iran's unique culture. Promotion of the country's culture always requires books. Despite the spread of cyberspace, books still hold a preeminent position, Ayatollah Khamenei said during a 3-hour visit to the 34th Tehran International Book Fair on Sunday. This was the first time in 3 years that the leader personally paid a visit to the annual book fair post-COVID-19. The leader emphasized the need for the publication of books that target children and adolescents so that there would be no need for foreign books. New York Times says, books ban rising rapidly in the U.S., free speech groups find. A new report from PEN America, the free speech organization, details a new rise of censorship efforts across the United States. Book bans are rising at a rapid pace in school districts around the United States, driven by new laws and regulations that limit what kinds of book children can access, according to a new report from PEN America, a free speech organization. From July to December 2022, PEN found 1,477 cases of books being removed, up from 1,149 during the previous 6 months. Since the organization began tracking bans in July 2021, it has counted more than 4,000 instances of book removals using new reports, public record requests, and publicly available data. The statistic also fails to capture the rapid evolution of book restrictions into what many free speech organizations consider a worrisome new phase. Book bans are increasingly driven by organized efforts led by elected officials or activist groups whose actions can affect a whole district or state. The debate around what constitutes appropriate reading material for students also became increasingly politicized and vitriolic. Librarians and teachers have been accused of promoting pedophilia, and some have lost their jobs or quit under pressure after refusing to remove books. According to Politico, French economy minister defends literary pursuits after criticism over racy novel. Bruno Le Maire's new novel went for sale just hours before ratings agency Fitch downgraded France's credit rating. A new novel about legendary pianist Vladimir Horowitz has been the subject of much polemic in French political circles in recent days. The reason? It features an erotic scene and was written by France's economy and finance minister Bruno Le Maire. Le Maire's new novel, Fougue Américaine, drew instant criticism and mockery after hitting bookstores last week, including by government opponents who accused the powerful minister of shunning his duties and spending his energy writing literature at a time of economic tension and social unrest. Much of the controversy surrounding the novel focused on an excerpt that went viral, in which the French minister narrates an explicit sex scene, a description that inspired some protesters earlier this week who felt screwed by the government's pensions reform. Between freedom and censorship, I always chose and I will always choose freedom, Le Maire said, noting that the controversial passage was 10 lines in 480 pages. While the book explores deeper topics such as human feelings and the music of Bach and Beethoven. Well, dear viewers, it's time to get back to our main narrative. Please stay tuned.
According to some scholars, Tehran Book Fair is as prestigious as book fairs in Paris, Istanbul, and elsewhere. The cultural event has turned into a landmark, momentous book fair in the West Asia after 34 editions in a row. Millions of visitors inspect the fair every year, including thousands of university students, scholars, and their families. The foreign publishers substantially offer their materials in English or Arabic. However, titles in French, German, Chinese, Korean, or Japanese are also available.
As the leader also mentioned in his speech after his visit from the book fair, efforts have been made to reduce the price of books. We hope that with regard to the measures taken, we will achieve self-sufficiency in paper production in the country by the beginning of the next year. Provisions have been made, new factories are being built, and the production of factories has increased. We think that in the next term of the exhibition, books will be presented at lower prices because the publishers will have access to paper at cheaper prices.
Themes act as an important binding element for a book fair. Some book fairs, mostly the international ones, select a country to be the theme of the fair. For instance, the theme country of the 34th edition of the International Tehran Book Fair is Tajikistan. In international book fairs as such, significant publishing houses from other countries participate, enriching the inclusivity of the experience. A rich panel of great minds from these countries come together for various organized events. Directors of several book fairs, including the Doha International Book Fair, New Delhi World Book Fair, and Muscat International Book Fair, attend the opening ceremony of Tehran's event. In addition, cultural ministers of Tajikistan and Venezuela are in Tehran to participate in several programs. In a press release published by the organizers, Tajik Ambassador Zahedi Nizamuddin Shamsuddin Zadeh called the book fair the largest cultural event in the region, which aims to improve cultural ties by showcasing the latest publications. "We have much in common with Iran on cultural, historical, and religious issues, and the joint cultural and historical values provide the ground for more cultural interactions between the two countries," he said. Also, Tajikistan plans to organize several review sessions and book launch events, including a new Tajik dictionary. In addition, Iranian and Tajik literati will organize a poetry night during the book fair.
Starting in the late 20th century, books and book fairs have had to adjust to what is referred to as human-computer interaction. Books as printed objects still continue to be valuable, even essential in areas that have no access to Wi-Fi. But in the regions that are well served in terms of the web, books can be accessed at extraordinary speed and scope. Therefore, physical books need to offer significant elements such as high quality print, reproduction, and more to compete with their virtual counterparts.
The international section of the book fair aims to introduce Iran's rich publishing industry to an international audience, to enhance cultural exchanges in the global scene, and to lay a groundwork for communication between Iranian and foreign publishers. 30 guests and 27 countries are present in the international section, and in general, about 40 countries will participate in this year's exhibition.
I have this advice for foreign book lovers that they can use the virtual space of the Tehran Book Fair and visit and buy all the books available. Their orders will be delivered for free by post. The fact that they live abroad does not mean that they are far from the exhibition.
Books in multiple languages from different countries across the globe bring people together, ignoring political and linguistic boundaries in these fairs. An amalgamation of art and culture materializes in each of them. A sense of responsibility awakens towards propagating the habit of reading and keeping a tradition with purpose alive. It brings minds and interests together and presents something for everyone here. In that regard, translators play a significant role in the literary scene. And thanks to Iran's love for literature, Tehran bookshops boast a diverse range of foreign titles, spanning everything from Marcel Proust to Haruki Murakami. In fact, according to experts, translators in Iran enjoy a degree of popularity rarely seen in the West. Their names are published on covers alongside the authors, and some are famous cultural figures. But for most, translation is a passion career with little to no financial reward and months spent waiting to obtain permission.
See, there are two types of works. We have authorship and translation. About 50 to 60% of our novels are translations. We analyze the market need and translate and produce books based on our researches. Certainly, our first edition is remarkable in terms of statistics and figures. Our first edition may be less this year compared to previous years, but according to the author and translator, our new publications are also active, and we have prepared about 35 translated book titles that we have presented in the exhibition this year.
However, the popularity of foreign fiction has led to the problem of multiple translations of the same book appearing in the market often at the same time, which could only mean that some translators are exploiting the copyright vacuum and by that creating unethical circumstances that undermines the nature of the industry. Book fairs provide a rare opportunity to address these issues. Utilizing the experience of international participants could help the locals to overcome these challenges. History stands as a witness to Tehran's Grand Festival, which celebrates the art of reading and the sanctity of readers, where as far as the eyes can go, people from all age groups can be seen, children, couples, and students from different walks of life. If you have never been to a book fair yet, it is time that you experience one soon.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after.
Until next time, take care.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned. Great men of Allah have revealed some of the secrets of their Salat time. They believe that when we reach the sentence, "You alone do we worship, and to you alone do we turn for help," our full attention must be led to Allah. In better words, you must feel the presence of Allah when saying such sentences. Thus, we must correct our salat because most of the problems that we have in life are rooted in our incorrect understanding about salat.
پیغمبر بزرگوار رد می شدند دیدن آقای نماز میکنه خیلی سریع خیلی تون.
Once Prophet of Islam was passing by and suddenly saw a person who was praying fast. Prophet stated, "You are praying as if a cow is pecking on the ground." Now compare how many of us pray like this in our life. Fast and inattentive salat will get us nowhere. According to Prophet Muhammad, the person who prays fast will not be resurrected as a Muslim on the Day of Judgment. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio. Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab Askari. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, said, "If a person does not know the Imam of his time, the person will die the death of an ignorant." Which means it makes us for us very important to know about the Imam of our time, because whatever the degrees we are amassing, holding, collecting, and at the same time not knowing about the Imam of our time, it's as good as being ignorant. May Allah not make us among those who die the death of an ignorant. So in this program, we try to make sure that we provide you with the maximum possible information about the Imam of our time. On that note, today in our studio, we have with us guest speaker, the Islamic researcher, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, Dr. Alavi, in all the groups of Muslims, in all the sects that Muslims have today, there's one name that everyone believes in, that's Mehdi. Mm-hmm. And now everyone has a strong belief in him, that he's going to come as a savior. Which, among which of these groups will Imam Mehdi, ajallahu ta'ala faraja, emerge from?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified brethren. As we said, we have based our answers to be in brief, and we are going to answer these questions briefly. And this is the fifth question out of the 40 questions that we are going to answer about the Mahdawiyya. In order to see that which, let's say, Islamic denomination Imam Mahdi is going to be belonging to, we can refer to some Quranic verses to find our answers. Let's refer to Quran first. We know that in Al-Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a verse in that we have referred to already, chapter Ma'idah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum dinukum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'amati. That is, today I've completed my religion on you. What day was it? It was the day of Ghadir al-Khum.
Yeah, the event of Ghadir.
So, وَرَذِيتُ لَكُمَ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now I'm satisfied that Islam is going to be a religion on you.
Yeah.
There is a question that comes to our mind, that what kind of religion? The religion that is completed on Ghadir al-Khum. So, which group is Imam going to be belonging to? Can he be, for example, from a group or from a community that is not the addressee of this verse in Al-Quran?
Mm-hmm.
This is a basic question. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets satisfied with the religion that is completed in Ghadir al-Khum, so let's see which group of Muslims and Islamic denominations put Ghadir al-Khum to tune every aspect of their, let's say, religious issues based on that. So the only, I think, a school that is actually has based and accepted Ghadir al-Khum as a base is the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمَ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. So this religion is going to be based for the spread and progress of, the religion that got completed in Ghadir Khum, right?
Yeah.
وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمَ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. This religion, which is satisfied by Allah, is going to be spread. So, again, we have talked about the future of the earth is going to be inherited by the righteous.
Yeah.
And they are going to spread the message of religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So we can put these two together to see what kind of religion is going and to whom Imam is going to be belonging to.
I want to discuss more with you on that. Let's take a short break and we'll come back.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We have with us Dr. Ali Alavi, and we are discussing something very interesting. We're discussing some of the basic concepts of Mahdawiyat and from which group the Imam is going to emerge.
Okay. So we refer to Quranic evidences that Imam is going to emerge from the group that actually has accepted Ghadir Khum as a base for them in their religion. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got pleased from that religion, that when he said وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامُ دِينًا, now I agree that Islam being a religion for you. But let's refer to hadith now. There is a hadith that almost all of the Islamic denominations have narrated. It is the hadith of what is famous as the hadith which is famous as Firqatun Najia, the saved group or the saved denomination. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Jews became 71 group of party, and Christians became 72, and Muslims will be 73 groups after me.
Okay.
There is a possibility of this 70 something is due to the showing the kathra, or that is the plentiness, abundance of groups after the Holy Prophet. There might not be, for example, definitely 73 Islamic groups after the Holy Prophet, but there is a possibility also to be. But I want to say there is also, because sometimes in Arab they use the adad al-kathra, that is to show the abundance of something.
All right.
So let's ask which group is going to be the saved group or Firqatun Najia, the group that is going to be saved and would be the addressee of...
Actually, Dr. Levy, we have a group of people around who have made a set of their own thoughts, a set of their own beliefs, and you could actually feel this division among the sects.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel these sects, basically, and you will see, like, there are people, whatever they find good for themselves, they choose that one, and they say that we don't believe in the rest of the things. And you will see many, many divisions in the Muslim sects as well. So it becomes very difficult to analyze, realize which one is real one, which one should I rely on, which from among all these...
But we can ask the Holy Prophet what is the answer to this question. At least we can ask him. But the answer is also available.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Holy Prophet says that there are going to be 73 groups in Islam after me, and only one of them is the saved. So let's ask the Holy Prophet
so
as the father.
We have
it's
the answer.
As if, for example, a father says that I have, I just love one of my kids. And if they are asking him who, every one of them might say, okay, this is me that the father loves me. When we ask him, I think the doubt will be removed, right? Dad, which one of us do you love most?
Yeah.
This is very clear.
True.
So let's ask the Prophet. Again, the Holy Prophet says in another place, he says that, مثل أهل بيتي كمثل سفينة نوح من ركبها نجا. That is, the example of my Ahlul Bayt is like that of the shape of Noah. Whoever enters it is the saved one.
So all this right.
Who is going to be the saved? I think there is no doubt here. Those who have resorted, those who have actually entered into the Safinatun Nuh.
Yeah.
That is, they are entered to the love of the Ahlul Bayt and to the school and accepted the school of Ahlul Bayt. So this, I think, question was answered by the Holy Prophet himself.
Yeah. Let's discuss more, Dr. Alavi, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior, and we have Dr. Ali Alavi with us in the studio. Well, Dr. Alavi, as we have many of the signs of reappearance in the history mentioned in the narrations, like there would be a cry from the sky, there would be the advent of some of the people, there would be killing of this, there would be a place that would engulf an army. So there are many signs that are actually discussed, and none of them has actually happened yet. So what should we be expecting now?
First of all, we need to, we as human beings, we can pave the way and, let's say, pave the ground for the arrival of the Imam alayhi salam.
Okay.
Look, we should not actually suffice to the to what has been said, for example, that there are some signs which are going to happen and we have to wait for that time and after that Imam will come. Okay, no worries, we have to be just waiting for that time. It's as if, for example, a father tells his family that I will buy, for example, a house for my son when he's going to marry, for example. After his marriage, I will buy him a house. Suppose it's as if that, for example, a father says that I will provide my son a house when he is going to marry. Does it mean that he is waiting for that 90th minute to buy the house? Or at least he might be doing, for example, there is a possibility of him doing the introductory steps to prepare that house. For example, to buy the land, to build it later. For example, at the time, and later on, at the time of marriage, gives the key of that house to his son.
Yeah.
So it does not necessarily mean that, okay, you have to wait everything. I mean, everything should stop here up until the time that you get married. No, we can pave the way. We can do the preliminary steps to prepare that house and to build that house, to buy the land and to equip it with the necessary equipment that are needed. But the same night that, for example, he marries, we can give him the key and the father can give him the key and, okay, this is the house that I promised you.
All right.
But on the other hand, again, we have in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make all the conditions overnight to prepare the conditions of arrival and advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We have it in the hadith.
Yeah.
Suppose that we are that, let's say, lazy students of the class, that we have not done our duties well and we're not expecting, for example, and we did not do whatever was expected from us to do as waiters of Imam alayhi salam. Let me give another example, that like a worker who worked, for example, for let's say for a boss in a company for years, but he did not do his job well. But once he enters, for example, the house of the boss, and he sees that the son of that boss is going to get sunk in the pool, but he dives into the pool and saves the life of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Overnight, he shows himself. So he deserves to be given a good, let's say, prize, a good, let's say, gift for that great work that he did. Though he was not a good worker in last 20 years.
Yeah.
But so overnight, or in 1 second, he saved the life of the son of that boss, right?
Yeah.
So it is also possible.
You can actually change your destiny within no time.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alavi, for being with us and discussing so important points in very brief time. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow? Please, oh please, please come.
In the limelight.
Economists across the globe agree that if the US goes into a debt default, what is left of US credit and trust will be lost, and this will have a devastating effect on the US economy. We have taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Reuters news agency has covered this story. The White House said on Tuesday, 16th of May, that U.S. President Joe Biden has cut back a major upcoming trip to Asia and will return to Washington early for talks to avert a potentially catastrophic debt default. President Biden flew to Japan on Wednesday, 17th of May, for a G7 summit, but subsequent stops in Papua New Guinea and Australia were scrapped to deal with a domestic standoff over raising U.S. borrowing limits. The White House said in a statement, President Biden will return to the United States on Sunday, 21st of May, following the completion of the G7 summit, in order to be back for meetings with congressional leaders to ensure that Congress takes action by the deadline to avert a default. The statement added, the president and his team will continue to work with congressional leadership to deliver a budget agreement that can reach the president's desk. The Washington standoff over raising of the U.S. government's $31.4 trillion borrowing limit is added to global economic worries, as a new nonpartisan congressional report cited a significant risk of a historic default within the first 2 weeks of June. The U.S. Congressional Budget Office, CBO report, issued recently, confirms Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's earlier warnings that a default could come as early as 1st of June. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, warned there is a significant risk that at some point in the first 2 weeks of June, the government will no longer be able to pay all of its obligations. Congress's budget scorekeeper also noted that the federal government's debt payments will remain uncertain throughout May, even if the Treasury ultimately runs out of funds in early June. President Joe Biden and his Democratic colleagues in Congress have urged prompt action to raise the $31.4 trillion statutory limit on government borrowing without conditions since the beginning of the year. Republicans, who narrowly control the House of Representatives, want new limits on future spending nailed down before they give the green light on more payments to cover borrowing on previously enacted spending. The standoff was starting to show its effect outside of Washington. Recently, the University of Michigan reported its twice-monthly reading of consumer sentiment showed households have the bleakest view of the economy in 6 months, in no small part thanks to the debt ceiling showdown. Survey director Joanne Hsu said in a statement,